And I'd like to call House Labor and Commerce Committee to order and let the record reflect that the time is 3:20 and the date is Wednesday, February 2nd, 2005. And let the record also reflect that we do have a quorum. Members present are Representative Lynn, Dott, myself, Chairman Anderson, Representative Ledoux, and Representative Guttenberg. And Representative Crawford is still in Anchorage with his, I believe in Anchorage with his wife, and is excused and may call in by teleconference. Today's schedule, we have two bills before the committee, but I first want to, I want to welcome the close-up kids who are here, and I'm really excited that you can watch our committee process. And we have two bills today that you'll be able to hear us talk about. And the first one is House Bill 93. And House Bill 93 has to do with dentists and dental hygienists. And that is a bill that will be presented by John Bittner. And if he could come to the testimony table there. And we do not plan on passing this bill out of committee, so I will alert the committee members that we will have a brief presentation on what the bill attempts to do, and then we will have, I think, one or two individuals, dentists, call in support of the bill, and then I will be holding public testimony open and holding the bill because occupational licensing, Rick Urien, has some questions, and we want to work those out before we bring the bill back and have debate and conversation on that. So, Mr. Bittner, if you could state your name for the record and present the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is John Bittner. I'm staff to Representative Anderson's. And I'm here to speak to you today about House Bill 93. You should have before you the CS, Committee Substitute for House Bill 93.
Great. And I'm going to move that we adopt that CS for discussion purposes.
Could you name it? Give it a...
Yeah. I mean, it's John, what's the number there? I'm looking for that here.
It is...
Yeah, 24-LS0384/G.
Yes, sir.
And hearing no objection, that committee substitute is before the committee.
And there were basically five changes made in this CS from the previous version of the bill. Most of them are fairly minor. The first one is on page 1, line 11. After the word dentistry, we added and dental hygiene. Also, page 1, line 13, we did the same thing. After dentist, we add and dental hygienists. Their involvement and in the original version of the bill was implied but not specifically stated, and it was felt that this would make it more clear as to the intent of this bill being applicable to dentists and dental hygienists. Page 3, lines 7 through 9, adds the words, threatens or compromises patient care, has the potential to compromise patient care, or after disability. We added this in to make sure that dentists and dental hygienists with physical disabilities wouldn't be discriminated against. There's a case of a dentist, I believe in Wasilla, who has one arm and has learned to practice that way very well.
Former member of this body, I think.
That's correct.
Yes.
Kurt Menard.
Absolutely. And let's see, on page 5, lines 18 through 20, we add... a copy of the summary published under this paragraph shall be delivered to the named licensee, if possible. The delivery shall be by electronic mail or facsimile. This is just sort of to increase the dispersion of the list they're talking about here, of the complaints and the things of that nature. We thought that electronic mail and fax would be the best way to do it. It's not as expensive as a full mailer, so if possible, we can do it electronically. Page 10, line 1 is amended to add a mediator who is approved by the board instead of either a dentist or an attorney licensed to practice in the state. And the reason for this is that so dental hygienists could be included as mediators. It was an oversight in the first draft of the bill. So
those are the changes in the CS. And again, we can debate this and look into this at the next meeting. But John, why don't you just sum up why we have sponsored the bill for the dentists?
Basically, this legislation is designed to bring the expertise, professional experience, and judgment of respected dentists and dental hygienists into the process of investigating alleged wrongdoings within the dental industry. It empowers the Board of Dental Examiners to review complaints, assess the level and degree of misconduct, and to impose remedial measures as well as appropriate disciplinary action when warranted. The board will have the authority to refer certain types of complaints to a peer review committee for resolution and recommendations to the dental board. More serious complaints will go to a disciplinary committee. The dental board will have the authority to revoke or suspend licenses of those who endanger the public health. And it will add uniform standards to the dental practice, including continuing education requirements, which we feel will increase the level of the dental practice in Alaska. Let's see. The bill will basically is introduced to improve dental care in the state and to give dental patients a peer-reviewed process to address their complaints more effectively than they are currently addressed.
And so just so the kids understand, so if this bill passed, an example would be, give us an example of what a dentist might do, let's say a crime or something, and then what would happen if the bill passed?
Sure. If HB 93 passes, one of the things that the bill specifically addresses is drug and alcohol treatment. Say that a dentist has something of a drinking problem, not necessarily in the office, at home, and his family is concerned, they can go to the board and ask them to intervene on his behalf. The board then has the authority to ask or basically tell the dentist that they must seek treatment for their problem before they can, or they will suffer penalties. Things of this nature, just to not necessarily punish or really come down harshly on dentists who otherwise have made a mistake and who are willing to work with the process to keep their license.
And the intent is to have fellow dentists analyze this, similar
exactly.
to like youth court for youth crimes or anything regarding a peer-related group.
Exactly. They're peers who would understand the problems best and who also are able to understand the processes and techniques that are available and desirable in a dentist.
Okay. What I'm going to do before we get to technical questions, go ahead, Representative Lynn, I was going to have one of the dentists testify just so you can ask.
One quick question.
Sure.
On page 3, line 7, talk about physical or mental disability that threatens or compromises patient care, etc. What type of mental disability would not threaten or compromise patient care?
Well, things such as, and I don't know specifically, but I would imagine things like Tourette's. It is a mental
Tourette's.
Disability, but not necessarily negative. It hasn't been specifically laid out, but it's just it would be up to the board to decide whether or not the particular mental disability would endanger patient care.
I'm not going to go there.
Okay. Don't crack a split personality joke.
No, Rob.
Okay, Fred, you handle the cleaning.
Okay.
Bad case of the shakes.
No, that would be bad.
Well, Mr. Chair, as I understand, one of the things that Tourette's is you can have just let loose a string of expletives,
yeah.
et cetera. And I'm not sure I want somebody letting loose a string of expletives when he's trying to fill my tooth.
Absolutely. And that is one aspect of it. There are other less severe aspects of the mental disease. And that would be up to the board. I mean, if the board finds that it is severe enough or it would interfere with patient care, it's entirely up to them.
And John, we can have one of the dentists answer that.
Absolutely.
I would assume they have some example
Absolutely.
Of where a mental problem might not affect that, but like dyslexia or something. And maybe that might because you can't read a prescription. But I'm saying that I'm sure there's mental things that might. Good question. Why don't we go to then just the two individuals wishing to. Okay, I'm seeing 5. Can we limit it to 2, Sam? Okay, and I'm going to ask, normally on the record we don't do it this way, but do you want Jim and Tom? Or I see Dr. Schaefer, Dr. Hipscher, Dr. Robinson. Schaefer. Okay, so we'll go first to Dr. Schaefer, and then Jim, Sam, and then Jim.
Hello,
okay.
Dr. Schaefer.
Okay, yeah, hi, Dr. Schaefer. I'm sorry, we're trying to, because we want to expedite this meeting since we're going to hold the bill to have occupational licensing assess with us some discrepancies. We wanted to limit how many people testify today. And so how about Dr. Schaefer, why don't you go ahead if that's okay. I'm sorry for the others waiting to have to not testify today, but we'll keep the public testimony open. So Dr. Schaefer, why don't you state your name and affiliation for the record and address maybe the concerned I almost called him Dr. Representative Lynn brought up, and then we'll hold the bill.
Okay, well, I'm Dr. George Schaefer. I'm a licensed dentist in Alaska for over 25 years and been practicing in Ketchikan. And I'm speaking as a member of the Executive Council of the Alaska State Dental Society. And I'll start out by answering that question about mental disabilities. I had a roommate when I was in dental school that was a certified paranoid, where he felt that everybody was out to get him. and he worried about whether or not he would sit under chandeliers, and he was always careful to know where the exits were in any building he went into, and yet he's been practicing dentistry for 25 years without any problem. And his problem didn't endanger patients, it was just his own self-perception and worry about what might happen to him. And that's an example of something that the board could sort out, because he's never been a danger to patients, been an excellent practitioner, but he did have a mental difficulty. So I don't know if that answers the question, but it might help.
No, that's good, Dr. Schaefer, and we can address that later if there's a concern. Why don't you talk about the merits of the bill and how it'll help your profession and in terms of consumer protection in Alaska?
Okay, well, I'd like to start out by saying that dentistry is different than some of the other major professions, such as medicine, law, or engineering. Those three professions, medicine's practiced mostly in hospitals where you have a group of doctors working together, oftentimes serving with each other on committees. In the law, the attorneys are practicing with each other in front of the court. And the same with engineering, they're practicing in groups, oftentimes competing with interaction with each other, but certainly have professional interaction. Dentists and dental hygienists tend to almost always be practicing alone in a single office. We don't have other professionals coming in and looking over our shoulder very often. So I think that we're more concerned about protecting the public and the standards of dentistry and hygiene. And our concern with that is because we don't have, on a daily usage, people judging our practice abilities, that we rely more on the state licensing board to do that for us. And that's what we're really concerned about here. I served on the board, and when I did, and even to this day, what happens is a complaint will come in about a dentist or a hygienist from a patient. And that complaint is investigated by an investigator from the department. It tends to be an attorney or maybe a policeman-trained person. And they gather the evidence, and then they make a decision about what should be done about the case, and they bring it to the board. Now, what the board receives is a case number. They don't know the name of the person that's being complained about. The board does not see any of the evidence. They simply get a paragraph, maybe two, of a summary of what the investigator says he found, and the investigator tells the board what they should do. They should be serious about punishment, they should dismiss the case, they should do something in between. But at this point, the board is making decisions without ever seeing any evidence whatsoever. And it's making decisions based on the standards of professional practice that we're required to continually take upgraded training year after year to maintain our standards. And we feel that at this stage of the decision-making process, when the board is asked to take an action about a license, we feel that either dentist or hygienist, the professionals, should be able to see the evidence before that decision is made. And in present, that's not what's being done, so this bill defines that. It further defines the standards and the procedures used to collect the evidence and how the evidence is going to be handled when it's in the state's hands, who has access to it, what is discoverable, those kinds of things. In addition to that, what we hope that this bill, what this bill will do if it passes, is it's going to allow the president or the vice president in the absence of the president to triage a complaint. If it's something very serious like fraud, sex misconduct, criminal activity, or misuse of prescriptions, there's no question the board as a whole will deal with the issue. But if there's issues of lesser concern like that, for example, if a person in the office is polishing teeth and they're not a hygienist or a dentist, those kind of issues can be put into either peer review or can put in to a disciplinary committee, and the president of the board would decide the level of severity of the complaint and be able to funnel it into these different avenues. Now, one of those three groups, either the peer review, the disciplinary committee, or in the serious issues, the full board, we'll make it, the first two will make decisions and recommend to the board what action they should take. But at this point, the recommendation coming to the board for their initial decision is a recommendation coming from other professionals who are up to date on the standards of the profession. And then the board always takes an action in any case. Nowhere in the bill will actions occur without the board's approval. And I could go on quite a while, but because we're going to revisit this bill at a later date, maybe I should stop and just ask if there are any questions.
Well, thank you, Dr. Schaefer. What I think we'll do is, unless there's a pressing question, we'll keep you on for the next meeting, available for questions. I've been asked to allow Dr. Robinson to speak. Thank you, Dr. Schaefer. I think that was really thorough and important to go through kind of the details on the foundation of why we sponsor the bill. Dr. Robinson, if you could just in a nutshell, a minute or two, go through your thoughts as well to supplement what Dr. Schaefer is, then we'll hold the bill. And for the other individuals, Jim and Dr. Hipscher and Tom, you guys can, if you want to, you can testify in the next meeting. So go ahead, Dr. Robinson.
Thank you. Yes, Dr. Robinson from Wausau, Alaska, general dentist, been in over 40 years in Alaska, and was also on the board of dental examiners as chair. I'm just going to add two things. Dr. Schaefer did a great summary on that. I would add in there under the what we are changing on, under the old license or under the old procedure, it is possible for an occupational licensing investigator to decide to dismiss a case or it warrant or not warrant further investigation. There are times that it may seem harmless, but the board may decide, no, this is a serious action. So I think that gives the board a chance to also make sure that we're ensuring the safety of the public. And that way, even if it's occupational licensing recommends dismissal, the board will approve it. The other thing I think is really good here is in the past we have had a substance abuse program kind of quasi on the side. This puts it in writing and allows the board to use it to its fullest and gives it credibility. Other than that, I think that's the main two things I want to add on to what George said.
Well, thank you, Dr. Robinson. I appreciate all the dentists and the advocates with that, the Alaska Dental Society, to stand by and be online here today. And I will work with, and my staff will work with Mr. Urien at Occupational Licensing, and we'll try to get the issues that he had concerns with resolved, and then we'll bring back the bill hopefully this week or if not early next week, and we will have limited testimony from remaining dentists interested and questions from the committee, and then we'll go on. Are there any pressing questions now, or is that Representative
Gutman? Questions,
no problem.
Mr. Chair.
Sure.
Are you expecting substantial rewrite coming after discussion with Mr. Urien?
I don't think so, and I think that the CS will likely be intact, and I think we're negotiating some aspects of that. If so, then we will amend the CS accordingly. Okay. That caught us off guard a little bit, but out of courtesy to Mr. Urien, I've said I'd hold the bill. So thanks to Sam and thanks to everybody for attending today and bringing this before us. And we'll hold the bill and I'll hold public testimony until the next meeting. And we'll go to our final bill. I hope to pass this out today. I'm honored to have Representative Gruenberg here, and we have House Bill 90 regarding state treasury warrants. Since we need to adjourn at 4, I need to adjourn, then we'll come up and we'll have a quick introduction and dialogue and then any questions. And we've heard this bill before and hope to pass it out today, but welcome, Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. This is House Bill 90, and it's a bill that those of you who were in the legislature last session were familiar with. It simply makes state warrants negotiable instruments. The state pays its bill not with checks but with warrants, And the question arose whether these warrants are legally negotiable instruments under the Uniform Commercial Code. It took an Alaska Supreme Court case, the Unilever's case, to hold that they were. And that's, I'm sorry, Univentures, National Bank versus Univentures. And the case was a hard-fought case because the banks were put in the position of having their warrants dishonored. They would have somebody come in to cash a check or deposit, run the check, the warrant through, and then the state would say these are not negotiable instruments, and the banks would be left holding the bag. Do we have that Univenture case?
And Representative Rumor, can you explain for the kids in the audience and the kids in the committee what a warrant is?
Right. This is not an arrest warrant. They didn't arrest these guys. A warrant looks and smells and acts like a check. Do you know what a check is? Do you guys know what a check is? Because people use credit cards now. But a check is something that you write and you pay your bills with. But a warrant is looks like it, but it was before they had checks, they used these documents, and they're called warrants, and we still get paid with them. And the banks were left in many cases holding the bag. And this is something I've been interested in since I was in the legislature before, and I never was able to get it through. But the name of the case, by the way, is National Bank of Alaska v. Univentures, UNIVENTURES 1231. That's the name of a company.
And can you tell us how it went in the last legislature?
Sure.
Where did the bill end? It went through our committee, and I know it was passed out.
Well, actually, the site on that is 824 P. 2nd, 1377, Alaska, 1992. The bill was introduced and went through only the State Affairs Committee, as I recall. I could be wrong. And it passed the House, and then it went all the way to the Senate Rules Committee, and it resided there at the end of the session. I'm not aware of any objection to it. Do we have whatever the bill number was? This, the legislative history should be, what? It was House Bill 109, I guess it went through Finance Committee then. It went through the State Affairs, then the Finance Committee, and the bill that passed the House unanimously, 32-0, was CSHB 109 Finance.
Okay.
No. Yes. Excuse me.
That was
a different bill.
That's okay.
Wrong bill.
But the bill has gone through the process.
373.
So the kids know, and then what happened is, as legislation goes through the legislature, sometimes we run out of time, and so whatever the bill is, it stops, and you have to bring it back. And so Representative Grunberg says, this is an important bill. I'm reissuing it and reintroducing it, and so we're going through the committee process again.
That's correct.
So it's great, American government, until you don't get your bill through. And it's annoying. Representative Ledoux and then Guttenberg.
How did it happen that the state failed to honor its instruments?
Well, being a warrant, the state took the position that they were not negotiable instruments, and the dishonor provisions of the UCC didn't apply. That was the position they took for years, and the banks were livid. And I introduced the bill back in about 1986 or 87, and I think it moved through one committee. But the state was so opposed to this that it took the banks taking the case up to the Alaska Supreme Court before the court held that they were negotiable instruments. The state was unwilling pass the law.
It's been a long. Can I just ask a follow-up? Been a long time since I've looked at the Uniform Commercial Code, but I guess my question was, I mean, why was the bank not honoring its? No. Not the bank. I mean, why wasn't the state
Well, the state may have had, it would depend upon the individual warrant. They may have felt for some reason that the vendor was supplying, say, defective merchandise or whatever, and they decided in any given case that they didn't want to dishonor it. They didn't want to honor it. It's been a while since I read the Univentures case, but what happened was, in the Univentures case, that the National Bank of Alaska brought an action against the state of Alaska and Univentures, which was a joint venture, and some people. And the issue in that case, the state was a tenant in an office building owned by Univentures. And there was a dispute between various people within Univentures. And as a result, the state stopped payment on the warrant. And the bank, meanwhile, had paid out $28,143.47. And that was by no means the biggest warrant that was dishonored. And what happened is, as a result of a dispute which arose among the partners in Univentures, the state was notified that it should no longer pay one of the partners the monthly rent due the partnership. That's why they stopped payment on the warrant. And the state was directed to hold the rent in abeyance pending the naming of a court-appointed receiver. And so the Treasury placed a stop payment order on the warrant. That's what happened. Do you folks have a copy of the opinion in your packet? You should.
I don't think so.
Did we give them a copy of that?
No.
Okay. Well, we'll make sure that the members of the committee get a copy of this.
When it goes to the floor, because I think we can pass the bill out today.
Okay, fine. We'll get a copy.
But now, why don't we, why am I thinking, Doctor, after Representative Guttenberg's question, then we'll go to Kim from the Division of Finance, Department of Administration.
Yeah, we have Kim Garnero, the Director of the Division of Finance, and Michelle Prebula, who's the cash manager from the Department of Revenue.
And who's here to answer questions, Representative Guttenberg.
Representative Grunberg, would it be fair to say that the state has conformed to the Supreme Court's opinion, and all this is doing conforming language to make sure the statutes conform?
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay, well, Kim, why don't you go ahead and give a brief statement on the bill and your support? Oh, you're here. I'm sorry. I'm so used to teleconference.
Good afternoon. My name is Kim Garnero, and I work as the Director of the Division of Finance in the Department of Administration. As Representative Grunberg has already shared with you and the committee has surmised, this bill simply codifies in law a 1992 ruling of the Alaska Supreme Court that held that state warrants are negotiable instruments subject to the UCC rules governing holders in due course. It means essentially warrants should be treated the same as checks in the banking industry. Since that Supreme Court decision, the state has administered its warrants as negotiable instruments, so no administrative changes are necessary if this legislation passes. And I'd be happy to answer questions, as would Michelle Prebula, who's sitting here with us.
Any questions for Kim? This is a pretty straightforward bill. I hope to goodness we don't have too many, but are there any? Okay, no. Do you need any more commentary, or are we good? Okay, then I'll close public testimony, because I don't see anyone else, unless the kids want to testify. They say no. Okay, then we'll close public testimony, and I'll ask for a motion. Representative Guttenberg?
Sure. Here we have it. HB 9024 LS0317-A in committee. With individual recommendations.
And attached fiscal note zero. There is no fiscal note. Okay, hearing no objection, then the bill will move on to the next committee.
You got a good start, Max.
Okay. And so
one for one.
We will then come back on Friday, and we will have House Bill 102, Foreign Medical Student Graduates, by Representative Stoltz, and House Bill 109, Screening for Newborns for Hearing Ability, from Representative Ramros. And we will adjourn the committee at, what time is it, 3:50 p.m.